All right, we'll go ahead and call the March 13, 2018 Hamburg City Council meeting to order at 7 o'clock. If y'all please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. Anybody have any public comments, or is pretty much everybody is here for an agenda item or just here for, got nothing else to do on a Tuesday night? All right, so no additional public comment, move on to agenda review and added items and adoption. Just a couple of things, council, to add. Under new business, Justin Black from SCH will be here to talk a little bit about the comp plan, and that, so we'll do that on our new business. The other thing we'll add at the end of the council tonight, after we do our council reports, we will be having a closed meeting in regards to talking about a personnel committee or personnel situation that we need to address for deputy clerk, or I mean our clerk. So we'll have that at the that'll be number 9 on the list, and then we'll close it, have the discussion, and we'll open it, and then make a summary, and then adjourn for the night. Anybody else have anything else that they would like to add or subtract from the agenda? If not, I'll look for a motion to approve as amended. So we have second. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. We'll look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
We'll move the consent agenda.
So we moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor? Opposed? Yes. Passed. We'll go ahead and move on to the Hamburg Fire Department report.
Eric is not here yet, so I told him I will stutter and drag my feet as long as I can.
Yeah, she'll be too tough.
He said he's on the way, so even if we get done, we could squeeze him in after yet. So, I got for a convention. This year it is in St. Paul, so it's within the 60-mile policy for hotel reimbursement. I guess what I'm asking is, we usually have 3 people go to summer convention. In the past, we've had some go to FDIC, nobody going to any other conventions. So we should save quite a bit of money on that. Your budget is $3,600 per convention. I'm wondering if we can still get a hotel reimbursed for the 3 that go to St. Paul this year.
Is it just a one-night reimbursement you're looking for, or would it be multiple
usually
nights?
Usually it's Thursday to Saturday. But I think our budget's $3,600 with 3 hotels, which would be the max, and it'd be less depending on who goes. But it'd be right around $2,000. It's been under that the last couple of years, about $1,800 when we go. But that's with more mileage, too, because we've been far.
Council?
I don't see a problem with that. Sounds like it's going to be less expensive than normal.
Right. It should be well over the convention budget.
Yep.
Any other thoughts on it? Since it is a deviation from policy, we would need a motion in a second to accomplish that.
I move to approve the hotel reimbursement for the firefighters going to convention.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to allow the firefighters to be reimbursed for their rooms at the fire convention, even though it's inside the 60-mile limit. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations.
Okay. fire board meeting, what was yesterday. I guess I would take both those next 2 points. Just to recap, all we had on there was the future engine purchase and how to divide up that percentage. And last time we met, October, November, around May. At that time, we just brought the split up thirds, what we did in the past, or if we want to do by unit. Everyone, the townships are supposed to go back and talk with their groups what they wanted, and we were going to meet back yesterday. Sounded like there was no motions made on any in either township, but they were leaning towards wanting to go with per unit. At the end of it, we had decided to wait and see till later in the year what happens with the water tower for funding for that.
Yeah, and then in addition to find out from the township what ultimately they were going to decide and what they wanted to do. Every indication at the meeting last night was the township wasn't going to go for a third like we've done in the past. They were wanting to do it per unit basis. But we'd have to figure out where the additional money would come from, because in all likelihood, if we keep the same rig that we've been looking at, that means the city side of the contribution ledger is probably going to go up $50,000-$60,000 from what it is. We have, if we were to purchase it in 2019, start the process this year, we'd be what?
Well, if it was 2019, it'd be $117,000 sitting in the account right now.
Which would still leave us $50,000 or $60,000 short of our portion if we do it by units.
In townships, when we bought the heavy rescue and the tanker in the past, as they got paid off, they've been taking that money and just rolling it in, set aside for the same engine purchase. And I think they're about $15,000 a year, but they have 3 years into it, so they're both looking about $45,000 to $50,000 as their portion set aside.
Do we have an opinion in writing? I've been on the fire board meetings since Brad was, that's the way it was always set up, one third. Now, because there's nothing in writing again, it got changed now again. And we've got anything in writing on the money.
No, that's what we've been meeting.
I know, but I mean, there's no writing nowhere, no nothing down nowhere.
Well, even we haven't done thirds and thirds and thirds either, though, because the last truck, the Relief Association took up a third. The city had no opinion on that.
But it was an agreement again since way back when Brad was chief that it was always one third, and then now that's getting abolished. Is there anything in any of the writing on any money?
But it wasn't really third either, because the tanker was half and half the townships. Every purchase has been different. One time it was third. It hasn't always been.
I guess I'm not even talking about purchase. I just, the way it was always set up, one third. It was always that way, I thought.
It's always, everyone's been different.
Is there anything writing on the money?
There's never been anything writing in it. That's why we are in the position we're in now.
Council, any other questions in regards to the fire board meeting or the township report?
So when you get this set up, then we are going to get something in writing then. And so we got something.
That's been the plan, to get it done now and then set it up so we've got something that makes sense.
Yeah. We
knew this was going to be the issue, that's why we've been bringing it up now. To do this now and not go purchase it and then have these discussions after.
The whole concept, hopefully by the end of this year, each of the three bodies will have something in their minutes that talks about what it is that's going to be going forward. So whether it's a per unit breakout as far as how costs go for future major purchases or whatever it might be, we're all going to bring it back. My hope anyway is we all bring it back to our councils or townships, and we make a motion that we accept that. So therefore it is somewhat in writing, so someone can reference back that in 2018 that there's someplace somewhere that we have it. Otherwise, we'll, in 20 years down the road, when none of us are on council or in the fire department, oh, you're still going to be here? Okay.
Fight till I die.
Whatever, we don't have the same pitfall. Yeah. We don't give the same pitfall off to that council.
And that's luckily what we got now is, you know, now with Greenhouse Facebook a few years ago when they were completely down. We've got time to hash this out. We need to upgrade at some point, but if this goes on another year or two, it's not an absolute dire need. It's just, you'd rather get it right now, and a lot of it too is you're talking $400,000 instead of buying a $40,000 pickup where, I mean, if we'd be talking the difference between $15,000 and $20,000, we wouldn't have that big of an issue. But when you're talking $130,000 and $220,000, it's a bit more of a conversation.
Yep, exactly. Anything else for Chief in those two items? Yeah. Now we'll move on then to the HFDA. We get the, do you have the background? I have the back, a little bit of background. So, there was through the audit process, I found out that the adjustment that we needed to make for our contribution, city contribution to the relief, actually went up by I'm trying to do quick math here. $37.64 in that, and so that will, so what we need to do is we need to amend our budget from last year. So what I need from the group is a motion to amend the 2018 budget under the city contribution to the Relief Association Special Fund to reflect it to be $14,119.
Why is it wrong?
It was after going through the as we're moving it to para, right? That's the reason.
Well, that has nothing to do with it. No, it's not para, because that's been after that. We've been dealing with our account and trying to get an answer. You know, we found one thing, one person that was paid out, they had a deferred, but we made that a move. They made that adjustment, and that got changed. So we're waiting to hear back from the accountant yet. Our president, he's actually at Greenhouse presenting to Washington Lake tonight. But I just talked to him before. He said, we're still waiting to hear back from the accountant. I don't know why.
So this number, that's the official number?
That's the number that they gave us to settle on, yep. So what we need to I need to entertain a motion to increase or to change the 2018 budget under city contribution to Relief Association Special Fund from $10,355 to $14,118.
Well, I move to amend the 2018 budget to match that $14,118.
Is there a second?
One second.
Moved and seconded to adjust the 2018 city budget under the city contribution to the Relief Association Special Fund from $10,355 to $14,119. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Eric, you want to come up front and get a plaque? I mean, you don't have to give a speech or anything like that. Just our little gesture on that. So certificate of recognition. The certificate is awarded to Eric Schumbauer in recognition of valuable contributions to the city of Hamburg for serving 20 years as a volunteer fire department in the city of Hamburg, Minnesota. Dayton, we'll have Jeremy and I sign it. Tamara wants to take care.
I'm not sure. Thank you.
Yep, here's your.
Anybody have anything else for the chief before we allow him to go back and sit in the seats? I guess you're free to go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, we'll go ahead then and move on to old city business. Stormwater easement. Hopefully everybody, this was sent out to you, email, right?
That, no.
Okay. Well, you all have a copy of what was provided to the city from Steve Tammy and Jake Trevish. Jake, do you want to come up and say anything about this, or otherwise we're going to have to give this off to, we just got this yesterday, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have to have Matt go look at it anyway, but I don't know if Jake, if you wanted to say anything or, okay, otherwise it will be, we'll discuss it another one. Anybody have any questions or any direction that we want to give Matt and any consideration to it? If not, if as you're reading over, if you have any questions, just send an email into Jeremy and that, and at the next meeting, we'll put this to bed. Okay. City name tags and shirts, stay after the meeting. We got some shirts that we're going to take a look at. Name tags should be here in about 45 minutes per UPS. So we'll see if they actually do show up. Then we'll move on to new city business. We'll get SCH out of the way so we can get on with the rest of our business.
Good evening, Council.
Evening, Justin.
Good evening.
Thanks for adding me to the agenda tonight. The reason why I'm here is the comprehensive plan update. Carver County, every 10 years, updates their comprehensive plan. And it's required by state law for Carver County to update that plan. They do it in conjunction with the Met Council because they're part of the Severn County Metro District. As part of Carver County's update to their comp plan, they require all of their cities within the county to also update their comp plans. And they roll these kind of up into an overall plan that's eventually adopted by the county board, and then ultimately goes to Metro Council, and they adopt it as part of the Severn County Metro comp plan. The comp plan is due for Carver County and the Metropolitan Council by the end of 2018. So it sounds like it's a long ways away. However, there's a lot of steps to get to that point. And Carver County is asking for the city's comp plans ahead of that deadline. I did meet with Jeremy back in January. We talked a little bit about this. He had called me over here to talk about it. He gave me some information from your last comp plan update date back in 2008. In talking with Carver County, they would like at least a draft by the end of April. And they're hoping to have all the city comp plans wrapped up this summer already. So even though you may see the final deadline is in December, they want the city's plans mid-summer so that they can go through the review process. So that being said, time is of the essence. We're sitting here first part of March, and that's why I asked if I could be added to the agenda, because we really do need to get started on updating the comp plan. Now, there's three technical parts of the city comp plan that Jeremy's asked us to address. They're the water system, the wastewater system, and then what Carver County is calling surface water, which is really your storm sewer system. So it's the three systems that the city engineer typically deals with. There's other pieces of the comp plan that staff will update, population numbers, those types of things. But the three technical pieces is what the cities call us in to do. So we took a look at what Carver County is requiring. I can tell you now that we've trimmed and compressed our budget as much as possible to just meet those minimum requirements. If you go to the comp plan update site, they've got boxes of minimum requirements, and then there's usually another section that says nice to have things that are nice to have. We didn't include any of those in the budget. One of the reasons we did that is we wanted to keep the budget to within what the city has budgeted for the project. The city did receive a grant, and I'll pass this out. This is our proposal. The city received a $32,000 grant from what Jeremy had told me, and that is what we trimmed our proposal to. So we're just meeting the minimum requirements to get to the comprehensive plan update for these three ones. So just walking you through our proposal, the background portion, I've already talked about that. Carver County is requiring the city to do this. And it must be submitted by, the final plan must be submitted by 2018, but like I mentioned, they'd like a draft by the end of April already. As far as the work plan goes, this will require quite a bit of interaction with city staff. A lot of the updates are going to be based on some past records that the city had over the last 10 years. So pumping records, wastewater testing records from the MPCA. And then we'll also be looking at population projections to make sure as we look out 10 years, you'll have the capacity from a water treatment standpoint and wastewater treatment to continue to serve the city. So there'll be some engineering analysis and some modeling. One of the things on the stormwater side, there was a stormwater model completed back in 2008 of the city. The city's adding a stormwater pond as part of the project in 2010, so we'll have to do some updating to that stormwater model. So if you take a look at the second page, we did break out each of the individual fee estimates for the water supply, the wastewater, and the surface water land use. You can see that the surface water is the most costly component to update. And part of that is some of the stormwater modeling that we'll need to do to meet plan requirements. One thing that I'd like to mention about the water supply plan, we did take a look, and the DNR is also requiring Hamburg to update their water supply plan for 2018. So we can kill two birds with one stone. By doing the water supply plan update for Carver County, we'll be able to check the same boxes for the DNR water supply plan. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. We did take a look at that. Like I mentioned earlier, we really need to get started now. That's why I'd asked for us to be added to the agenda. It's going to be a push to try to get things together by the end of April. But we'll work closely with Jeremy and Tamara to get that information. Like I said, Jeremy gave me some of the information already, but there's some more records that we'll need, and probably some testing records from Greg to put everything together. So the total cost for this update, $32,000. But like I said, Jeremy had mentioned that the city did receive a grant to cover that cost. So if you have to try to answer any questions that you might have, I know we're not giving you a lot of time to read this over, but when I talked to Jeremy the other day, he says it's a requirement. There's not much you can do, and that's the truth. I guess there's really no way around it.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, we're updating all of the comprehensive plan documents that were developed back in 2008. So there's some mapping components to it. There's also some computer modeling that's done. And we need to assemble all of that information. There's meetings that we'll have with city staff to talk about some of the updates that we're looking at. But there's a number. I didn't bring the checklist with me, Steve. Maybe I should have. But there's a number of things that Carver County is requiring for us to do.
Holy cow, I just think that's a lot of money.
It is, yep.
It just so happens that what you're charging is the same one as the...
Well, we had to trim things down to get to $32,000. We're just doing the minimum requirements, so we're not doing any of the extras. You know, typically a comp plan, anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 would be a range for a comprehensive plan. I know the city of Gaylord is working on one right now, and I think they're right around $60,000 or $70,000 for a comprehensive plan. They're an expensive planning tool, if you will. So I guess that's all I can offer, other than, you're right, it does match the grant amount, and that's because we trimmed some things back. Initially, we were over that amount, and we wanted to get down to where we're doing the minimum. So, with that being said, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to lean on Tamara and Jeremy to help us gather some of this information. And get it over to us so that they can do some of the heavy lifting from that standpoint. And that'll help go a long ways in helping keep our costs lower.
The other part too that'll be a benefit for us as we go through this process is, we've already had two different groups talk about adding homes to town. This will help us determine from our water usage and inflows, outflows, and just our sewer system, do we have the capacity now? And how many homes can we add now? There's how many homes can we add in the future?
We'll be looking at the projections for what Carver County is predicting Hamburg to grow. And like I said, doing some engineering calculations to determine, can you provide the capacity both on the wastewater side and on the water side? Looking back at the 2008 comprehensive plan that was done, both make it done that plan. They did pretty extensive amount of computer modeling for the stormwater side. And Jeremy's trying to get an electronic copy of that. If he can get an electronic copy, that'll save us some time, save us some cost, the $15,500. This, we're assuming right now at this cost that we're gonna have to recreate some of that modeling. If we can get some of that information and not have to do as much rework, we'll be able to save some cost. This contract is an hourly, not to exceed. So if we can find some efficiencies, we'll do that and save the city some money. But I didn't want to make an assumption and then have to come back 2 months from now and say, we couldn't get the electronic copy, that's gonna be an extra X amount of dollars to recreate this stuff. So, you know, unfortunately, in my mind, there's two ways to look at it. Fortunately, they only do this every 10 years, but also, unfortunately, they only do it every 10 years because after 10 years, you know, some of that information is archived or too old to be reused. You have to recreate some of that. So
I just thought it was a lot of money. I don't know what it all consists of. That's why I asked.
Right. No, it's a fair question.
Yeah.
So it's basically just the county or the state? You purchase county?
State law.
State law.
State law.
And they just want to basically see if you want to grow, if you've got stuff to make sure you've got enough to supply the people when you grow.
Right. That's part of it. It's really a look back to see how, over the course of the last 10 years, how the city has, you know, what's the projection line as far as growth goes, and then trying to make some assumptions as we look out 10 years from now, what's the projections. So that's the idea.
And it becomes a tool for us, like I said, so we can understand what are some issues. I mean, it would have been nice in the last comp plan if they would have taken a look at the industrial park and we wouldn't have had the snafu that we had in trying to get that taken care of.
Right.
So hopefully that will encompass some of this as well. Plus with all the conversation in regards to downstream water, especially when it comes to the clean water and that with the ditch system, that's a whole different ballgame as well. So.
Yeah, and Carver County is pretty tough with that. I just got done with my erosion control class, and boy, they just, everybody must start stepping out on a lot of this crap.
So, yeah, just one other example that I can give of something that they're asking or requesting. And again, I wish I went about the checklist, but they talk about info and infiltration, I&I. Where or what has the city done in the last 10 years, and what impact has it had? So there's some number crunching that we need to do to quantify that because the city's taking some steps to reduce I&I. So we'll show that in the comp plan update, what you've done from a bricks and mortar standpoint, what you've built, but also, you know, the impact for the pumping station. So there's a lot of things that need to go into, which is why I'm a little bit concerned about getting a little bit of a late start here in March, but we'll do the best we can to try to catch you up.
Okay. Any question? Other questions from the council, Justin?
No.
Otherwise, I entertain a motion to greenlight the project.
I'll make that motion, but
okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded to move ahead with SCH to facilitate the comp plan assistance for 2020, or we consider 2040. We consider 2040,
it's, right? It's a 2040, yeah. We're calling it the 2040 comp plan. Okay. And when we're starting in early 2018, and it, like I said, it takes a while for this to roll up or ramp up, but it's a 2040 count.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Cool. Get to work.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You just want to have, I don't know if you signed the agreement or whomever. And
probably Chris.
Just,
I can probably sign it.
Yeah.
You want to sign it? Just you want to do it now, that'd be fine, or else I can come back.
I can sign it.
Appreciate that.
I got it. Chris, you can hold on to it if you need to review.
Camera in the next week or so, I'll probably have a laundry list of stuff that I'll email.
Okay.
You can start pulling records. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Greg, you want to get in the hot seat there and we'll talk about this pump? Hopefully, everybody had a chance to review the two. Quotes for the pump for the lift station.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a recommendation from staff that we go with the one that's more expensive, and Greg's here to kind of answer any questions and explain a little bit why he feels that that's going to be a better move for the city moving forward.
I looked at them both, and I agree with them. I'm just looking at it. The more expensive pump has got close to last twice as long as any other pump from some hard iron. Is that right, Greg?
Yeah. It's that pump has a hardened iron. Housing itself and the stainless steel, which is good, but it's got a hardened propeller, which is supposed to last longer. It's a clog-free design. We've had clogs in the past, especially with these what they call the flushable waves, which mainly flushes because they don't break down. Problems with us, and it also runs about 25% more efficient than other pumps out there. And over the course of 10-15 years, whatever they last, that's a 9.5 horse motor. That's a lot of juice.
I read that in there. They said within a first three year period, it's supposed to be 25% less, and if not, they will pay it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
The other reason I'm looking at it is our whole system down there was set up and built around the flight pumps. The flight pump is going to be more expensive, but the other pump, the AGM, I believe it's called, that will need a different bracket. If you look inside of the actual big cistern thing there, there's four stainless steel tubes that this slides down onto. The 3126 is the pump that was in there. It's outdated. They can't get parts for it anymore. The 3127 superseded it. It could just go right in there, slide right down. Should seal and everything. Where the other pump, if they switch it over to that, they need to make brackets, or that they have like conversion kit brackets, and then you got to take on the bottom where it's sealed, that needs to be changed out and stuff too. With talking to Kurt about it, he said sometimes when we have two pumps in there, and he said sometimes you got an issue with one or the other and they're trying to figure it out. He said a lot of times what they'll do is they'll take and they'll switch one pump to the other to see whether or not you got a plug line, you got, you know, other issues. He said by switching to an AGM pump, you can no longer do that. You can't switch from one to the other either, which is might be a little bit of a hindrance in the long run. So, with me and Kurt talking about it, we basically said it's like taking a Ford engine and putting it in a Chevy or vice versa. Yeah. You're going to have other issues that are going to come up. And if you look on the pricing, of like a service call, you know, just the service call alone, service drive time, 2.5 hours, $110 an hour, $275.
Yeah.
Service truck mileage, 160 miles, $1.25 a mile, $145. It don't take long to turn that up.
I figured I had $450 just to get the truck on site.
Yeah.
That's not getting out of the truck yet.
So, you know, I'm looking at, well, then today, just to do the apples to apples, I had them email me some warranty stuff. With these pumps, when these pumps are shipped from the factory, that's when the warranty starts. Okay. So, say for instance, like Minnesota Pump Works, they have a pump, they have a brand new pump there that's sitting on their shelf. Warranty wise, because it's already on their shelf, warranty has started, even though it's not. So if that thing has been on the shelf for 2 or 3 years, with the warranty, you go down to a lower warranty, which for 0 to 12 months is 100% parts, 100% labor. 13 to 18 months is 100% parts, 0% for the labor. 19 to 30 months, 75% parts, zero for the labor, it drops down. If we would order a brand new pump, it would take longer, but then the warranty is 0 to 36 months, 100% parts, 100% labor. 37 to 48 drops down to 75%, 75, 49 to 60, 50 to 50. That's for the AGM pump. Flight, 0 to 18 months, 100% for labor and parts. 19 to 39 months, 50% for both. 40 to 60 months drops down 25%. And then the other kicker is, today they sent the thing, if we decide to go with the AGM pump, which is the cheaper of the two, they will also knock off an extra $447.40 just because the warranty's not as good. But I look at the $447.40 as one trip off, and that's not touching anything. So it's up to you guys. It's a $940.36 difference. I've learned over the years with working with maintenance and everything else, cheaper is not always better. With talking to Kurt, too, he said, you know, that whole station was designed around that flight pump. Changing things might be kind of a door in our side. It's up to you guys, but like I said, I think if we can get somebody out here, drop it in, hook it up, and it's a done deal, it's be better than having to convert and this and that. That's the flight pump better.
This is the pump.
Yeah.
And this is, and this pump, you actually hook something on this and it goes up and down until you get it in now.
Yeah.
And it just sets up.
It drops down, it sits, and then you can see where the pipe comes out.
Yeah.
That goes up against the rubber. Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, they take their truck and the crane and they drop that down and basically lift it up and slides on there. Each pump has two stainless steel sleeves and it slides on. So there will be a bracket that's put onto that.
Oh.
That puts on those stainless steel sleeves and it drops straight down so it can't turn, it can't. That's another thing, if you gotta make other brackets to make it work, you know, you could be losing a seal here or there and stuff too, so.
Well, you only, I run on that, shoot, it's only 2 hours.
What's that?
To put this on, set up.
Well, both of them, what they both want to do now, and I think it's a good idea, on our original pump, well, number one, you can't get parts for it anymore, but number two, the seals were out on it also. So when they opened it up, the oil was like milk.
Yeah.
In other words, water got in there and took the thing off.
Yeah.
On the new one, and with the cost of the new ones, they both suggested now that there's a sensor that gets put on there that's attached to that pump and gets wired into our control panel with a light and a beeper. If that seal ever leaks, gets water down there, it lets me know right away so I can get somebody out there and pull it out so that, you know, otherwise I wouldn't know and the thing could run in milky water and take the whole pump out just like that.
You said you get 50 feet of cable with it too? Electrical wiring?
Yeah, they would probably put the wire in with both of them.
Okay. Well, you get the pump, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Greg on this pump. Is
I mean, like I said, it's a $940.36 difference. Just looking to the future, and like I said, with having to, you know, change all brackets and having to change the ceiling ports and everything else, you know, like I said, you could start getting blow by and stuff like that. Like I said, one call, maybe two calls is going to take care of that $940.
You've only got one pump online now? That's it. And we're okay with that for how long? Before this?
I've never been okay with it. We've been dealing with this for a year.
Oh. I knew I would just put a new motor on it.
a year ago, that pump stopped. What happened is either a bolt washed down there or back when they were changing things out. Anyway, there was about a 3-inch by 1/2-inch bolt that got sucked into this pump and it stopped it dead and kicked it out.
Oh.
So I had North Star pump come out, he pulled it out, we got it backed off, took the bolt out, but it took the whole end of the impeller off.
Oh.
With that impeller broken off, it's gonna vibrate, take the seals and everything else off. So we haven't run it, we left it in there. We always dealt with North Star pump. Mike Ripa of North Star pump, him and his owner, other owner, died. Mike never got back to me, Mike never returned the calls. Basically, Mike dropped off the map. Don't even get in touch with them or anything. So I basically, now we went out and we got Minnesota Pump Works to come out and we signed a contract with them for maintenance. Twice a year, we got to do maintenance, they have to check some stuff. They now do our maintenance. We got a contract with them for 2 years, but this electric pump is the one that we got the second bid from there out of McCray. And so, yeah, no, we've been running on one pump for a long time.
That's that pump with the impeller broke off?
That pump is gone. That pump right now is at Minnesota Pump Works. They were going to try and see if they could fix it or rebuild it. They can't get parts for it. Actually, the impeller that was in that pump is not the right impeller for that pump. So somewhere along the line, years ago, something else must have went on and they couldn't get parts for it. They made something work, is what happened. But when they pulled it out, they called right away and they said, that's not even the right impeller that's supposed to be in there.
So how long is it before we get a new one?
I don't know if I call them tomorrow, hopefully within a week or two. I really want this taken care of before we start getting the meltdown. I mean, just for example, a couple of weeks ago when it got really warm, I went from about 30,000 gallons in one day to about 64,000. That's our inflow and infiltration. Plus now, people got their sump pumps running the house as well. When you start getting the frost coming out and the water running down, it all goes in and it all ends up out there. So yeah, you know, basically if we lost the pump there now, we're gonna be knee-deep.
So if I'm hearing you right, Greg, the reason you're suggesting that we go with the Flight one is with an electric pump, but even though it costs more, is because that's really what our well is designed for, and
yeah,
also the design features.
For the panel, everything is set up for it.
Any other questions the council has? Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion to you for a great recommendation on the pump he wants, and let's get it done and take care of it.
It's been moved and seconded to go ahead with the electro pump bid for $11,397. Main reason we're going with the higher bid is due to the fact that it's actually the right pump that's for our well and other design features. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Get it done, Greg. Next, I need to find my agenda again. So the next two items that we have on there, those we'll cover underneath the closed meeting here in a second. So we'll just, unless anybody else has any new business for the city, we'll move into city reports. Jim? Councilman Buckentine.
I have none.
Councilman Tracy?
Kind of nitpicky, yeah. I didn't notice the flag on the memorial thing. It's pretty tattered and it's getting replaced every so often.
Yeah, once someone recognizes, no, there's no schedule.
Oh,
you want
okay.
To let Greg know?
Yep.
And then we'll get it there.
Okay.
That's not bad.
No, that's, yeah.
Councilman Feldman.
Nothing.
Councilman Trebish.
Nothing I can think of right now.
Last week I did meet with Senator Jensen and Representative Nash. I happened to be down there that same day that all the kids walk out of St. Paul schools and came walking down there. I did get to meet with Representative Erdahl, who handles the bonding committee. He's the chair of the bonding committee. talk briefly about it. So what I need to get back to them is just kind of a one pager that outlines what I told Representative Verdahl, is that when I moved to town 15 years ago, I paid $30 for my water bill once a quarter. And then I don't know when this shift went from quarterly to monthly. I was trying to figure that out over the weekend, but then I started paying $30 a month, and now I'm paying $127 a month. And in the process, we've upgraded the water plant, we've upgraded our sewer system and wastewater and that. So we've made some upgrades. We put about, I think, between $3.5 and $4 million into the city for those upgrades. And our water, and results, our water rates are relatively high in comparison to other cities and that. So with all of that into consideration, we unfortunately here at the council just can't raise taxes to pay for a $1.2-1.3 million water tower. Plus the added part, if, you know, God forbid we had a fire in town that we needed to use the water from the water tower, we would have to send out another Facebook message and tell everybody in town not to use their water because we just drained the water tower to put the fire out. So I mean, there's some definitive issues there. Part of the reason we want to get the new water tower, other than just 100 and something years old, we want to go to the 50,000 to 100,000 gallon tank, so that way we can also then, over the next 10 years, hopefully support, you know, new development, whether it's business or housing or residential. I will be going down there on the 21st and 22nd as part of the League of Minnesota Cities deal. And again, hopefully I'll have that sheet of paper with me so I can hand that off to everybody that I need to hand it off to, and give everybody a copy so that when they sit down in committee, they can do it. And I even told Representative Mash and Senator Jensen, when the committees meet, the bonding committees meet, if they need somebody from the city to go down there, I'd be glad to go down there and testify beforehand and just see what we can do. I know Representative Mash, when he was here too, he mentioned that he would like to really increase PFA, which wouldn't be all that bad, but that doesn't guarantee us anything because we always get bumped from PFA anyway, and we wouldn't know until July if we got it. Now, if we were in McLeod or McLeod and Sibley County, we would qualify for PFA because now we're outside the 7-county metro area. So that's, again, I mentioned that to Representative Verdahl, and I said, but I reassured Representative Nash that we weren't looking to succeed. So, but when they redistrict in next year or in 2020, who knows where we'll be as far as that goes. But that was my trip down there. Like I said, I'm planning on going down there for the League of Minnesota Cities too, and see what goes from there. But all in all, it was a good day. Other than, it was kind of funny after the kids did their little protest in that over gun violence in school, and they left. Well, I left after them, and the grounds outside where the house, the representative stay in that, just there was water bottles all over, there was apples all, I mean, it was just like, I thought maybe Occupy Wall Street had come through again. You know, it's just like, just pick up after yourself. I understand, go protest whatever you want, but just pick up after yourself, yeah. Would you please? Yeah.
I mean, you didn't put that on the news.
Yeah.
No, they reported there were 2,000 kids there. I didn't count 2,000 kids. Granted, I wasn't counting each one, but there was a lot of kids. I mean, there's probably 1,000 kids there. Just wonder if they all knew what they were doing.
Yeah. It was a day out of school for them.
Yep.
Pretty much. Pretty much. All right, so before I entertain a motion to close the open meeting, so we can open the closed meeting. The reason for the meeting that we're going to do, and the reason why it's deemed an emergency meeting, so according to Section 13D05, subsection 3, we're holding the closed meeting in this manner because of some pressing issues in regards to job performance for our city clerk treasurer that we need to discuss. He did not waive us to talk about it publicly, but we have every right to close a meeting and have that conversation. And then when we close the meeting, it'll be more of a free conversation at that point in time. So I entertain a motion to close the open meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to close the open meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?